2016, the great year for whatever you need it to be. This is the award-winning podcast from a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.org for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. While you're there, consider becoming a partner with us by clicking on the partnership section. Be a part of something big. Make an eternal difference today as you, together with us, bring the message of faith to the world. Together, we can do far more than any of us could ever do alone. And lastly, get on our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. This ministry is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation, and your giving is tax deductible. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, everybody. This is Frank and Christina Sasso coming at you on the Who's Your Daddy Godcast this week for September 2016. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
September, it's beautiful out.
Yeah, the last couple of days have been cool. Yeah.
Yes, summer is gone. Goodbye, summer.
We're not big fans of summer.
No.
We did go on a cruise ship this summer, however.
Yes, we did. We went on a road trip and then a cruise ship.
Right. We did Virginia, and then we did one night in Virginia, three nights in Savannah, Georgia, one night in Florida, and then four nights on the sea.
On the ocean. We actually did, dare I even say it, I can't believe I'm saying it, Disney cruise.
Oh, Disney. And it was wonderful.
It actually was, as far as everything. The people we went with were fun. We loved them. Looking forward to seeing them again in a couple weeks. And the service was fantastic. It was just long enough. Maybe one more day would have been good.
Yeah, but it was okay.
It was really good. The characters were not in your face, which was really cool. They weren't walking around. Right. It was like you could take pictures with them. You line up, and which I had no interest in whatsoever. But if you wanted to take picture with Mickey and Minnie and whoever, Rapunzel, whatever, you could. But if you didn't want, the adults had their own space.
Yeah.
Very nice, relaxing, no kids.
Yeah, you could take pictures, and if you don't want to, you don't want to.
Want to go and take pictures, you didn't have to, you didn't see the characters really.
Yeah.
Unless there was some kind of show, which you could avoid also. If
absolutely.
You wanted to avoid the shows.
It wasn't intrusive at all.
Right. None of the people that went with us had kids. Little kids.
Well.
They were couple of teenagers, but.
We did have one big kid.
We had a couple of big kids.
Well, this one particular big kid, and I won't mention his name, waited for Rapunzel.
I think that was, there was
I
a
think
picture
he
of that.
I think he's in his late 50s.
I think he might be in his 60s.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure. I think he might be just turning 60. But
waited there with Rapunzel's handler, with his hands folded in front of him, like he was waiting for, like, you know.
He was the first one there. There was nobody there. Nobody. But she was scheduled to appear at a certain time, and he was there, I think, a half hour before.
That's right.
No kids were there. He was the only one. And there was a picture of him sitting there with his arms folded, waiting.
Yeah.
He was the first one in
line. And there's a picture of him with Rapunzel, and he's taller than Rapunzel.
It's very, very cute.
I think she even said, this is the first time an adult has waited to take a picture with me.
It's very, very sweet.
He loves Rapunzel, loves Tangled, loves the one scene in the movie where the guy gets hit with a frying pan.
And just so you know out there, because, again, not a fan of Disney.
Christina and I are personally not a fan of Disney.
Right. We can't speak for everyone in the ministry, but I'm a Looney Tunes fan.
Yeah,
I grew up with
Looney
Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd. Those are my characters. Those are my cartoon friends.
Those are your cartoon peeps.
Yes, those are my peeps. Just so you know, Rapunzel is not a Disney character.
Right.
Okay? Not a Disney character. Nor is Beauty and the Beast a Disney character. Okay?
Or Winnie the Pooh, or Snow White,
Right. Disney did not create these characters.
Right.
he absconded with them, or the corporation absconded with them, and then they became, quote-unquote, Disney characters. Please go back in your history books and look where they were created, all right?
And you know what's cool is that if this was like...
That's my rant.
If these were the problems of the world...
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. But... I have
enough about Disney.
I'll give Disney the kudos of excellent customer service in a trip that was fraught with really bad customer service.
Oh man.
So I actually will not, I'm going to tell you because I'm going to warn you out there.
That's right.
You live in the Hamilton Robbinsville area,
right.
Avoid at all cost AAA on Route 130.
Right.
Because their customer service is the worst. They have no idea what their product is. They have no idea what the rules of their product are, and they will swear up and down that they are correct until you get to where you need to go and find out, oh no, I'm so sorry.
Oops.
And then as far as making it right.
Oh, you're on your own.
It's like you did something wrong. So avoid at all costs AAA on Route 130, Hamilton, Robbinsville, New Jersey. The absolute worst. I won't speak for any other AAA office, but that one is to be avoided.
Yes.
They lie, they don't know what they're talking about, and they can potentially ruin your vacation. They didn't ruin ours because we're the righteousness of God.
Hallelujah.
And they will pay because they ought not have done that. Pay financially and whatever. But that's my other rant. Okay, so I'm throwing people under the bus because... Look, you're going to put yourself out there as a business, then you better be prepared.
Yeah, and you're not willing to make anything right with people?
Right,
No. So we're just going to warn people. Yeah. Stephanie Lima, who is was the agent that we dealt with, her name is Stephanie Lima.
Knew nothing.
Knows nothing.
Knew
and
nothing.
Her boss, Anne.
Terrible.
Again, just as actually worse.
Right, because she's Stephanie. Management.
She's management, but I'm just saying, but she actually gave even less service than Stephanie did.
And she was even nasty to you.
And she was nasty
when,
to me.
After they had made a grievous error. But anyway, we had a wonderful trip despite that. Savannah's beautiful. If anybody's out there from Savannah, Georgia, beautiful city you have there.
Mm-hmm.
We spent 3 days enjoying walking around. It was hot, but it wasn't unbearably hot. The people were nice, and we met some people there, and it was a lovely, lovely time, and really enjoyed. I'd like to spend more time in Richmond, Virginia, too, because we were only there one day.
One night, yeah.
But that was also very, very pretty.
Very cool.
Okay, so.
A couple of things going on. I was a little miffed, not a little, actually a lot miffed. Within the past month, our dear neighbor, Steve, 4 houses away from us, got mugged and killed and has left a big void on the street that we live on.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to his memorial last night and, you know, that was all cool. I mean, the memorial was very nice. We you know,
yeah,
got
he
to meet
actually,
his daughters and stuff.
We found out he passed away
while we were driving down to
Virginia, I think it was, or maybe it was.
I think it was Georgia.
Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what had happened was he was mugged on his way home, walking from a local place, and managed to continue walking.
Yeah.
With I guess he had a head injury, you know, being beaten, and then collapsed close to his home.
He was trying to get home, I guess.
Right
over here on the block.
And was in the hospital for a while and ultimately passed away.
Right.
So we were really, really
still upset
about that.
The other thing is last night, somebody was shot right over here.
We don't know the story.
We don't know the details, but we just know somebody was shot.
Yeah.
And carjacked.
Not killed.
We don't believe it was a random thing. We believe it was
something else.
Something
was going on.
But
it's interesting because.
Yeah, this is why we're bringing this up.
Yes. Because we don't put up with this nonsense,
both
in the natural and in the spirit, but first with the spirit. You know, we're always praying for our city, praying for our neighborhood, praying for our park, praying for our neighbors, praying for our home. And recently I started reading a book that Teresa Axum gave me before we went on vacation.
Wait a minute. Hold that thought. Because I want to interject something here.
Yes.
We made the decision to start a church.
Yes.
In Trenton, where we live.
Yes.
And like these things are happening and maybe at first it could be very like, ugh, do we really want to start a church and open our house and like, you know, have people come in that we don't know and with all this stuff going on. Like, I would think, I'm not saying to me or you, I'm just saying to maybe just a worldly person.
Right.
They'd be like, oh, don't do that because look at all the stuff that's going on.
Right.
I believe it's because we made the decision to do that.
Right.
That the devil's like trying to heat things up and, you know, that kind of stuff. Right. So we're thinking about the church and we're thinking about when we're going to do this, like have it on Wednesday nights at 7, let's say.
Yeah.
But when we're going to actually start, we're still picking a date. So stay tuned for details. Still picking a date and all this other stuff is going on. So Chris gets the book from Teresa, this book. And now go ahead.
I just want to go back to the church again.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So we had been looking for a building, right? And,
oh, right.
And nothing was panning out. Like everything, nobody's getting back to us. Nobody's, you know, it's just you keep like hitting a brick wall. And
right.
So you're like, all right. So we feel like this was the Lord and, we want to proceed, but like we took a break. We're like, okay, let's see what happens. And then nothing was happening. So are we going to do this or not do this?
Right.
And I'm telling you all this because, you know, you guys might be going through something similar or you might have a word from the Lord and things aren't going smoothly. Like, oh, what? The doors aren't opening. What's happening? Mm. What were we wrong? So then we decided, you know what? We talked to Pastor Larry Clark.
Right. From Family Life Christian Fellowship in Glassboro.
And we're like, well, how did you guys get started? And he said, we started in our house. So, you don't have to start with a building, like, oh, we need to have a church, quote-unquote, building. A church is just like the Acts Church. You start in your home.
Right.
And you go house to house and you meet house. All right, so that's like, that was been a relatively recent decision. So then it was like, okay, we're going to start in our house. Now, we're having work done in our house, so the house, in my opinion, is a mess. And I'm like, ugh, I'm going to have people in my house.
Right.
So it's a disaster area right now. But, you know, we're putting things in place. We're like, okay, let's pick a date. And we decided maybe not a Sunday because Sunday people like they do their church thing or they do their weekend thing, but maybe a week night where people can fellowship during the week. So we were thinking a Wednesday night. So we're putting the process in place. We've made a decision to do this. Now we're going to, you know, officially start. So when you make these steps to fulfill a plan that the Lord has put on your heart, the devil is going to push back.
Right.
To get you off the plan or to get you distracted from the plan. So know your enemy, know who your enemy is and know how he operates. So this is how he operates. You know, and here's the thing, like we spend a lot of time in Philadelphia and I love the city and like everything in my flesh being would love to just pick up and move to Philadelphia.
Right.
Because it has everything that I love and enjoy about a city. It has things to do. It has restaurants. It has culture. It has, you know, life in it and people and movement and excitement and, you know, beautiful houses and beautiful neighborhoods. And here I am in Trenton where it feels like it's always a struggle. But I know that I can't go. And I always think about Rick Renner.
Yeah.
I try and remember, like, look at other people who have gone before. And Rick Renner moved to Russia back, I think, in the 70s.
Yeah.
And he's still there.
He's still there.
He's still there when everyone else who moved there left.
What it was the thing to do.
Right. Yeah. It was, he would tell the story is that it was the thing to do. Russia is the new mission field. People went and they hit major resistance, the Russian mafia.
Yeah.
You know, the old guard was there, whatever. They hit a lot of resistance and their answer to that was to sell everything in the United States and burn their bridges and move there. And I always think of that and I'm like, okay, Lord, we're here. This is it. We're just going to stay and do what you wanted us to do. So yes, the devil is going to push back, but the good news is we've already won and he doesn't win. As long as you know you already victorious, then he can throw anything he wants at you and you still win.
Right. Amen.
Don't let that deter you from God's purpose in your life. And a good way to realize that you are in the right place is if the devil is coming after you. Because if you're not doing what God's plan is, then the devil's like, yeah, I don't need to mess with you at all. Just keep doing what you're doing, which is nothing.
Amen.
But if you are doing something, then the devil's coming after
you. Exactly.
But don't be afraid of that. Just rejoice in that.
Yeah.
And then put him in his place, which is under your feet.
He's all smoke and mirrors.
So, okay. That being said.
Yes. Now, Teresa gives you this book.
Yes.
Called The Blood and the Glory, right, by Billy Brim.
Right. Which I think is so funny.
We love Billy Brim. Yes.
Yes. Because I remember like a while ago, Teresa was like, yeah, I don't really like Billy Brim. Not that she doesn't like Billy Brim. She didn't say that. She was like, yeah, I don't, you know, really follow
her. She doesn't
really
speak to me. Yeah,
she doesn't speak to me. And then I turned her on to the Blood Moon stuff, and now she's like
She's like Billy Brim Central.
Yes. So she got me this book before we went on vacation, and I started reading it. Well, I actually just started reading it, and then I put it down when we went on vacation, and I picked it back up again. But there's a lot I want to talk about in the book, which I'll do at another time. But
just from what you told me, it sounds like chock-full.
Right, but I'm not going to even talk about the whole Genesis thing. I'm just going to talk about the bloodline.
The bloodline.
Right.
Okay.
And the name of the book is The Blood and the Glory, and it's by Billy Brim. And the chapter that I'm referencing right now is chapter 9, and it's called The Bloodline. And basically the book is about how powerful the blood of Jesus is.
Okay.
And how we don't give it the importance and the weight as a tool and as a protection that we should.
We should as Christians.
Right. So, I have been praying since I started reading about it, using the blood more so than I ever have. The blood and the name together. The
okay.
name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. First of all, the blood of Jesus courses through your veins. Cause we are now, once we are new creatures, we have new DNA, which is the DNA of Jesus. We have the blood of Jesus
right.
running through
right.
us, which is life-giving blood. It's redeeming blood. It's prospering blood. It's healing blood. It's all that. But it's also, a protection for you, your possessions, your property, your neighborhood. So I've been praying, you know, a bloodline. You know, you make a circle of
okay.
blood, not
right.
real blood. But the blood of Jesus in
not
faith.
Not tangible blood.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. In faith.
Okay.
You pray that blood around your body, around your possessions, around your family, around
your neighborhood. Right.
So we've okay. been praying. I've been praying that. Have you been praying that? I don't know. Because you didn't read the book.
Not particularly. I have not been praying that particularly, but I've been praying. I've been praying for the neighborhood. I've been praying for direction with the church. I've been, you know,
okay. So, I read this story in the book, and I'll share it with you, and I'll relate it to what I think happened last night.
Oh, okay, with the shooting.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
So, I'm going to try and keep it very concise, but basically it was a minister and his wife were conducting meetings in Canada.
Okay.
And they had left their children at home in the southeastern part of the United States with the grandparents.
Gotcha.
Okay,
kids are home with the grandparents.
Right. Now, these meetings were doing great damage to the kingdom of darkness.
Gotcha.
So, many people were coming to accept Jesus into their life and being set free from bondage of Satan.
Right.
So, this story actually appears in a book by Don Gossett. The name of the book is Praise Avenue.
Okay.
Because of this success of this couple, the devil became infuriated and began to torment Brother Stevens with the thought that he was going to kill the Stevens children.
Okay, so you're reading an excerpt from the book right now.
I'm reading an excerpt from The Blood of the Glory,
right.
which has an excerpt from
that book. That's what
this
I'm saying.
Book,
you're
Praise
reading
Avenue.
This story now.
Yes, I'm
okay,
reading
so
the story.
Go.
Brother Stevens says, "Devil, you're a liar. You cannot kill my children." To this, the devil seemed to say, "Oh, yes, I can. For I have put rabies upon the foxes in the woods adjoining your property." Immediately, Brother Stevens remembers the report of friends who had seen foxes roaming on his land before he left Tennessee. In simple childlike faith, Brother Stevens gathered together three other believers. Together they agreed in prayer, and by faith they drew a bloodline of protection around the Stevens property. A week later, Brother Stevens received a letter from his brother back in Tennessee. He said, "Today I was out walking. I walked around the edge of your property. Lying on the boundary of your land, I found 5 dead foxes. We had the heads examined and found they all had rabies.
Gah.
The foxes had dropped dead when they tried to cross the bloodline." And then this continues the story. "Now, when Reverend Gossett, Don Gossett, heard this, he had an answer. For a long time, thieves had regularly been breaking into his ministry office, vandalizing and causing great destruction. Oh, devastation. The Gossetts installed security devices. They worked with the police. Nothing stopped the intruders until, when he heard the story, Don Gossett wrote, "I decided to draw a bloodline. I called my wife and family together. By faith, we drew a bloodline around our offices. That was in 1969. We never had a break-in in our offices since. Is there Bible basis for drawing a bloodline?" And it's decidedly yes. And then she goes on to talk about the scarlet thread.
Sure.
With Rahab.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Passover.
Passover blood, of course.
The blood over the doors.
Right.
So
right.
That was Old Testament.
Amen.
And she goes on to say that was Old Testament and it had the power.
Right.
Now you have the New Testament blood,
how much more powerful is that?
More powerful that is. So now I say this because we were talking about this shooting last night.
Yeah.
Our neighborhood is a tight neighborhood. Everyone knows each other. And, the park across the street is a beautiful park. It's quiet. It's, you know, kids play there. So lately we've been feeling a little pushback. So this is why I started doing this bloodline. Now, and then I'm thinking, well, how could this happen then? If I drew a bloodline around my neighborhood, how is this shooting able to take place? And then I had the thought about the foxes.
Hmm.
The story, we don't know the full story of what happened, but it's very suspicious.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like, oh, it was this lovely couple.
Some random thing, right.
That were holding hands and they were just walking down the street and someone came and ran out and
took their car and shot the guy.
There's this other kind of suspicious.
Yeah, it doesn't sit right.
Yeah, as soon as I heard it, I'm like, that doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound. There's other details that I'm not even going to get into that make it sound like, hmm. So here's the thought I had.
Mm.
Those were the foxes.
Yeah.
Meaning you have someone who shot somebody and you have someone who got shot.
Right.
And his quote unquote girlfriend.
Right.
That didn't get shot. So I believe that, you know, there's a scripture in Psalms where your enemy's arrows will be turned upon himself.
Yeah, right.
So somebody will roll a rock up a hill to try and kill you and it'll roll back down
on them. Right.
I believe now the devil's factions and the devil influenced people are actually
turning against themselves.
Turning against
evil
themselves.
Taking out evil.
So I believe that was evil taking out evil.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, you know, evil people should be shot, because as long as a person is alive, they have the opportunity to turn
Absolutely.
To Jesus and receive the forgiveness that they already really have access to. They just haven't received it. So I believe that this quote unquote shooting was really evil people taking out other evil people. So those were the foxes. They couldn't cross the bloodline.
Right, right. I agree. I mean, and also the person that mugged and killed Steve was with his girlfriend that night. His girlfriend turned him in.
That's right. That's right.
That's like another, you know?
Right. And that person that did this was also not like just, it wasn't a good person because they already had warrants out for their arrest.
Right. They already had a warrant.
Right. They were already, they were out on bail,
mm-hmm.
and they already had,
right,
you know,
Warren's out. I don't know. We don't want to get too into that.
So the thing is,
give it too much weight.
The girl that he was with,
who had a restraining order against him.
Yeah, try and figure that out.
Turns him, was with him when he killed Steve.
Right.
And then she winds up turning him in.
Right. So this is where I see the turnaround.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so don't, just because you see, hear or see things, don't look at it at face value. Because there's something else going on. And don't be afraid. Just have faith in the blood. Have faith in your position as the righteousness of God.
Right.
And just stand. Stand and stand. You resist the devil and he will flee.
He will flee.
Those are the words of Jesus.
That's right.
So don't be afraid of the enemy because he's already been defeated. You're not going to, you know, we were having this conversation about, oh, you know, what are the police doing and what is, blah, blah. Who cares what the police are doing?
The police aren't doing anything.
They're irrelevant.
Yeah, they are. They really are.
Because just like in the story, you know, this guy, you know, his ministry had been robbed and vandalized and the police came and he had security cameras and didn't matter.
Right.
Because they still kept coming. But as soon as you apply the blood, everything changes.
That's right.
So please don't rely on the government and the police and, you know, all of that to solve your problems. Go to the Lord with it.
Right. Go to the Lord with it.
Yeah.
And do like James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee.
Right.
He will.
Stand on that word. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes he doesn't give up easily, but it doesn't matter because the final word is he's defeated.
Right. It's like, listen, just because the Bible's saying resist the devil and he will flee. It doesn't say resist the devil one time and he will flee. It's like when you tell your dog sit. Sometimes the dog doesn't sit immediately. So what do? You tell him again. And you tell it again until he sits. Mm-hmm. And then he starts to realize every time you say sit that you mean business. Mm-hmm. You know? Same thing with the devil. The devil's gonna test you. He's gonna see. Oh, resist? Are you gonna resist me? Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I resist you, devil. In the name of Jesus, I quote James 4:7. It is written, resist the devil in Jesus' name and he will flee. So you have to flee. Right. And he might put up a fight.
Right.
You just stand on that word, man. Mm-hmm. Stand on that word.
And don't give up. Like, another thing that it says in the book is, we're ever watchful. Like, you cannot ever let your guard down. I remember someone in an old church we went to said, well, we're all going to put on the full armor. Now, does everybody have their armor on? Like, it's like, you know, our thinking caps. Let's put on our thinking cap. Like, do you ever take your armor off? And then I had said this to someone because, of course, I always question things. I'm like, why are we being asked, did we put on our armor today? Like, put on our armor today. Yeah. Well, I don't take my armor off.
Yeah, but you might hear the answer with that, you listening. You might hear, oh, well, you know, when a soldier goes to sleep,
well, that's
he takes
what
his
I was
boots
told.
Off.
That's what you I know? Was told.
Right.
I was like, well, you know, even a soldier takes his armor off to go to sleep. I'm like, the devil doesn't sleep.
That's right.
You know, you go to bed with your armor on. Are you kidding me?
Just because Paul is saying put the full armor of God on doesn't mean
that you,
he's talking to people who don't have it on.
Right.
That's who he's talking to.
Put it on and keep it on.
Yeah, you don't put it on daily.
And I'm telling you, I feel like I was remiss and maybe a little complacent and let my guard down. And I'm not going to do that anymore.
So me too. I feel the same way.
You can always turn around. You can always repent of that and just keep moving forward.
I feel the same way. I feel like
no more.
Yeah,
no more.
Amen.
No, the devil gets no ground here.
I feel like I should go out and walk like I used to in the morning. Remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Okay.
All right. So just to wrap up, stay tuned. If you are in our vicinity.
Yeah, if you're in the Mercer County area, or well, if you're in New Jersey
or
Pennsylvania, or even anywhere else, I don't know what else is around.
If you have your own jet, and
Delaware. You got a jet.
Come on, Trenton Airport.
Or like one of our dear partners, I'm going to say Donna. Huh?
You know who you are.
You know who you are, Donna, quote unquote. Anyway, here's the thing: if you want to do this every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Take 15 minutes if you enjoy these godcasts and you are a partner of ours or you are a member of this ministry or a subscriber or listener. Any of the above, listener, then every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for, let's say, 10-15 minutes, hold us up in prayer for this church endeavor to be planted in Trenton, New Jersey. The name of the church is The Abiding Presence. And, just pray for that endeavor. And we really covet and appreciate those prayers.
We'll keep you posted, but we're thinking October.
We're thinking October, every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, at our home. We will be giving you that information soon. We're just trying to iron out some last-minute stuff here. It'll be on the website, the whole thing. Facebook. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
So, until next time, remember, what?
I was going to say, keep your emails coming.
Oh, yes. Keep the emails coming.
We love
and also,
hearing from you.
We, by the way,
testimonies.
That last one we did, you are promised tomorrow.
Yes.
Wow. The Lord told me put that on YouTube. I'm like, YouTube? It's audio. Mm-hmm. Come on, Lord. People want to go to YouTube to watch, look at a picture.
Yeah, God, come on.
Well, that got over 2,000 views.
Yeah.
And amen. A bunch of likes and a bunch of comments.
Awesome.
So we really love reading your stuff and we love knowing that it's getting in, you know, and that people are getting encouraged and they're learning. So that's very encouraging to us. So anyway, like I was about to say on our close out, mm-hmm. until next time, remember, we love you. God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from the History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.